manager around the service, so you don't actually have to hear me singing, which should, believe me, not be a blessing. Okay. Well, it's lovely to be back. Now, Christmas time as well, so thank you for having me round. And I'm more penned in now, so I won't be doing too much walking around for you. You might be pleased to know. I'm trying to stay behind here a little bit. We're looking at Christmas, obviously, around this time of year, and I thought we'd start off with that by just thinking about if you go all the way back to the mess the people of Israel were in at the time of Jesus' birth, and to think really about the situation that they were in, living in an occupied country, downtrodden, without hope, just about surviving, and by the way that they've been treated, probably feeling quite unimportant, probably feeling worth very little, and probably feeling very much like they're not capable of changing their own futures. Living, I would imagine, on a very much a day-to-day, just about making it through each day basis. Living on a survival mentality, because there wasn't really much more left for them to hope for or to dream for. And it wasn't a very particularly pleasant time for Jesus to be born then, into that situation. But as I go through those things, as I go through those particular feelings, if you like, or particular situations, it may resonate a little bit with yourself on not, of it, not necessarily that we're living in an occupied country, obviously, but certainly that we can often feel like we're living on a day-to-day survival mentality. I think the more I talk to people, the more I come across people that are living like that, you know, feeling unimportant, feeling very much like they don't count for much. I'm feeling also like they can't really change their futures very much as well. And the more I dwelt on this, the more I thought, actually, it's not that much different now for a lot of people. It's not that much different now for the way that we live. So it may sound familiar for yourself, actually, for what people were going through. This particular term for me, life for me, my wife often calls me quite jammy, because I often kind of feel like I get, you know, a nice life, actually, I'll be honest with you, it's been pretty good. But this last term, I've probably had more outside pressures put on me than I ever have in the last 41 years of my life. I have 41, you can believe that, could you? You know, I look so much younger. That's basically been this term just compressed down. I'm still a teacher, but my job's changed quite a considerable amount. I've had to take on more responsibilities, and I'm teaching much harder maths now. Maths is hard anyway, but you make it even harder, then that takes up even more time to plan. So life's become about planning and marking and teaching and going to bed and then planning and teaching and then somewhere in between trying to fit in some management responsibilities that I've got to do, and being a dad and being a husband, and it's just got really, really hard to do all of it, and still watch a bit of TV, which, you know, you've got to fit a bit of that in, so surely somewhere as well. So it's become a survival mentality. For the last 3 months, I think it would be fair to say, it's become, let's see how much I can get through and survive in all of that. And, you know, within, I don't know if within the whole thing as well, not everyone's grateful when you're a manager of something, I've noticed, which is strange. I've never come across this before, but you do make a decision and not everyone applauds that decision. Not everyone goes, what a wonderful decision that was. Some people can be even rude to you, and that's a bit strange for me as well. I'm not used to people being overly like that. So it's been an interesting little, you know, three months for me, I think. A little bit downtrodden, a little bit self-pity, maybe. But more than anything, just feeling like, you know, survival. Can we just make it through each day? Can we just make it there? I've got this golden rule that says I won't work past 9 o'clock. So I hit 9 o'clock and I've got to finish by then, whatever. So I get to 9 o'clock and, you know, then it's time to do the washing up and then make the sandwiches. messages, and then it's like, oh man, it must be bedtime, but I've got to have time for a little bit of something. And it's not been particularly nice. And it's just been this cycle again and again and again. Which takes us back to the first Christmas, because they were in that cycle. They were in this kind of like, what can we do? How can we make it through? The Romans at that time would have been very much oppressing the people of Israel. It wasn't a pleasant time to be living in. But God was seeing everything that was going on. God was watching everything that was going on. And he was bothered. God could see the struggle. God could see the hurts. God could see the problems that his people were in. And he cared. He cared massively. And in a way that caught nearly everyone out, in a way that no one was really expecting, he broke in. He broke into the world. He reached out. And he said, I care. Enough to do something quite amazing. Enough to do something that would be spectacular, in fact, enough to send his son and to make a huge, huge difference. God broke through into all the mess, into all of the stress, into all of the darkness that was in the world. He made a way through. He actually made it into this planet. And I guess the question is why? What's in it for God at this point? Because we're in a mess, globally speaking now, I guess you could say, but we're in a mess then. And what's God's heart in this? And you can't say, I mean, we sang it today even, actually. God sent his only son because of love. That was it, really. It was out of love that he did it. It was out of a massive compassion. God designed people. This is a big, big message. So I'm moving. I'm sorry. I get excited. I start moving. I'm over here now. God designed people to enjoy life. That's a shock to some people. Some people have got this mentality that Christianity is all about rules and regulations, and you're not supposed to enjoy any of it. And you're only a proper Christian if you're miserable. But God actually designed us to enjoy things, enjoy life, enjoy relationship with him, enjoy relationship with each other. The whole game, if you like, if it's not a game, but the whole point of it is that we understand that so that we can apply the structure and the strategies of God's rules, so that's the perfect blueprint to enjoy life. Life in all its fullness with him. That's what Jesus said when he came down. And when he sees us carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, when he sees us struggling, when he sees us hurting, it hurts him more than we can possibly imagine. If you're a parent, you'll get this probably a lot. If you see your kids upset about something, struggling with something, you usually feel worse than they do. You usually are more bothered about the situation that they're going through than they are themselves. When they're crying, you're crying more. Maybe not physically. I mean, I'm a man. I try not to. But you get the idea, yes? You're hurting more than they're hurting a lot of the time. You carry their problems for them a lot of the time. And that's the situation. But that's you, a human. How much more is it with God? How much more is it when he sees his children suffering? How much more is it when your perfect heavenly Father sees us suffering and sees us struggling and sees us carrying the junk and he knows that we don't need to? As a parent, I'm looking for every possible situation, every possible scenario, every possible solution to come in and intervene. That's the way I'm wired. That's the way I work. I'm thinking, I could help here. I could do this. I can do the other. I could get involved in my kid's life here. I could make it happen here. I could make it better there. And yet God does make, he just loves us far, far more than any of this. And we hear God loves us so much that sometimes I think we become anaesthetized to it and it doesn't actually make any difference. And the Bible's full of it. God loves you here, he loves you there, and you can read it and it doesn't actually make that much of a difference after a while. It doesn't say anywhere that God likes you, actually, but he does. That's a little bit lower down the spectrum. And sometimes that resonates a little bit better with people. He likes me. He does. He actually likes you. He does say in the Bible that he smiles at you. That's a nice picture, isn't it? He's smiling at you right now. Right now, he's smiling at you. Just picture that. God is smiling at you right now. That is his passion for you. That is his heart towards you. He is constantly smiling at you. He is constantly looking out for you. He constantly wants to come closer to us. And when Jesus comes in at the start, when Jesus comes in at any point of history, if you like, when Jesus comes in and breaks through, he brings that fresh hope with him, a fresh hope that invigorates on the inside, that thaws the snow in Narnia, or whatever we're going to look at, and just promises that full life with a purpose, with a meaning. I was talking to some friends who had become Christians in the last couple of years, and they were telling me, they were just talking about how their lives just had no meaning beforehand. Their lives just didn't count. They weren't thinking about anything. Again, it was that day-to-day kind of, we'll just survive through the whole thing. And how much happier they've been since they become Christians, how much more purpose their lives have had because of them. And it, all of a sudden, they're now no longer thinking about how do we make it through. But it's easy to go back to that, isn't it? To go back to that survival mentality, to go back to that list that you've just got to get to the end of the day. And I kind of want to look at that a little bit. So how do we respond to the incredible message of hope that Jesus brought and still continues to bring? And I think the biggest clue is contained in the following verse. If we have a look at Luke 2, verses 6 and 7, this is Jesus being born. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And you've read it probably quite a few times, and every Christmas it comes up again. There we are, look. And she gave birth to her firstborn, and because there was no room for them in the inn, no room available. Three very, very significant words. No room available. No room in the inn on that one. No room available, whatever you want to think. But in the business of the last few months, I wonder how much that's been true for myself. In the busyness of life crowding in, how much has there been no room available for Jesus? How much have I just been trying to get through, just surviving on whatever I can survive on? And it's all you can do to keep your head above water when life's like that. It's all you can do just to keep on getting through and just keeping on surviving when it gets like that. But all along through this last I'm not saying I was just constantly living on my own and all the rest of it, but it's just so much was going on that it was just so easy just to live life at full tilt and just forget everything else that was going on around me. And all it required, because God was just saying, I'd like to break into your life. I'd like to break into your life. I'd like to break into your life. I couldn't even hear a thing. I'm just thinking, I've got this bit of math to do and I've got this bit of management to do. And he's there just trying to break through all the time. But all it required for me was to make some room available for him. All it required was for me to stop, to pause, and to let him close. To let his love and peace just fill my heart again. And I use that word let quite deliberately, because that word, a lot of the time people think that you've got to do something quite magical to meet with God, or you've just got to do something, and that's not the truth. If you go to Song of Songs, it starts off with let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let. The word let is quite deliberate. God is just trying to get to us all the time, and all we've got to do is just let him close. In 1 John, it talks about letting him as well. It's all this let, this word of the, just allowing him close. He's constantly reaching out. The passion of God is so enormous for each and every one of us. The love of God is so enormous that all we need to do is stop and pause and let him close. And let his peace into our hearts. And let his word come close to our hearts. Just let him near, rather than shutting him out because we haven't got the time or we haven't got what's going on. As I've done that, my stress is dissolved. And I think over the last few weeks of it, certainly, I'm now again living very much in his presence, very much in his peace. I will say this, I would love to tell you at the end of all this that my circumstances have changed and now everything's great. Yeah, now I've just got so much more time to enjoy and all the rest. That's not the truth at all. My circumstances haven't changed at all. I'm still teaching year 13 maths, and I have to do that. And I've still got to be a manager, and I've still got to spend time with my kids. And I say got to, I don't have to. I like to, actually. But the point is this, that my circumstances haven't changed, but the amount of peace, the amount of joy, the amount of life and love in my heart has magnified massively again. And I can walk around now in the presence of God and enjoy it. Because I have this theory. I have a theory that you can actually enjoy all of your life. I don't know whether you want to go with me on this or not, but I think you can. I think it's possible. I know that life chucks rubbish at us a lot of the time. I know that it chucks a load of junk at us a lot of the time. But I think God intended us to enjoy life. And I know that that means that, therefore, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff that we have to go through. But throughout it all, His peace is stronger. His joy is stronger. His love is stronger. His life is stronger than anything else that will be chucked at us. And can handle us through the storms of life, can take us through the storms of life. And it's that's made me start thinking over these last few weeks, you know what? Actually, I think He can take us through the lot, whatever we have to go through, whatever we have to be in, wherever we're at the moment. God's hand can reach down deeper, because greater is in us, He who is in us, than he who is in the world. Greater, there's more strength, more power, more of God in us. And God is bigger and more powerful than anything that the world can chuck at us. So amazing as it may seem, and I'll just let you dwell on that. And you may think, what a load of junk. I reckon it's true. I reckon there's a possibility that you can enjoy anything. Maybe not the actual thing. I mean, if it's horrible, you might not enjoy that. But going through it, you can still have God's purpose, God's peace, God's love. I had to have a conversation with someone recently, and I was dreading it. Do you know when you have to have those meetings with people, or you have to think, and you think, oh, this is going to really kick off. This is going to be nasty. This person's not going to... And I wasn't looking forward to it, not in the slightest. And so you start dwelling on it. Do you know what I mean? Start worrying about it. You keep on having that conversation that you've got to have with this person in your head in the future. Could go like this, it could go like that, they're going to kick off like that. If I say that, they're going to... And I was just going there again. And all I was doing, I was just worrying about it all the time. And that's when God said, you know, you can enjoy that conversation. Really? You can enjoy that conversation with that person? Not that it will be an enjoyable conversation, but that He will be there with me. His peace will be in my heart when I'm talking to them. His strength will be taking me through it. And I can actually talk to them with love in my heart. They'll even meet God through me if I'm actually plugged in enough for that. So, here's my big finale, if you like. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. It can be a Merry Christmas. And consider, what area would you like God to break through in your life this Christmas? In the first one, God broke through into the world. In the first one, He did, and there was massive amount of hope for everyone around. But for you personally, in your world, what would you like Him to break through into? What would you like to be broken into? What would you like Him in? Are you fed up merely surviving? God wants to be your strength. Are you stressed? God wants to be your peace. Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel yet? If not, God wants to give you hope. Are you feeling quite down and depressed about life? Then God wants to give you joy. Are you feeling trapped and squashed? And God can be your freedom. And sick, God can be your healer. God desires to break through into your world this Christmas, and perhaps in the most unexpected fashion. Not many people would have imagined the Saviour of the world to be born in a manger. So it could be happening in any way that we would do. But if you want something from Him today, if you want something, please come to the front as we finish off the service. I would be delighted to pray for anyone that would like to see God break through into their lives in whatever way they want today, whatever they see that they need some freedom in, or whatever that might be. And before I finish, just remember that God wants it more. God actually desires it more than you desire it. God desires your peace more than you desire it. God desires to lift that weight off your shoulders more than you do. As weird as it may sound, as your parent, as your father, he desires it more. So it's not asking much because he actually wants it. It's not asking him a favor. It's not actually getting on your knees and going, oh, please, it'd be so nice if. He's desiring it more. So if you want a prayer today, that would be brilliant. Well, we'll just I'll hand over to yourself to finish off, because I don't know what you want to do with the last song or whatever. But if you want, please come to the front.